JEFFCRESPI, rocks.com. Here we are on episode 4 of the Bob Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Bob Mann, from the up-and-coming female-fronted rock band Vection. As always, I'm here to talk to you about sports, movies, the local music scene, all of pop culture, and as usual, we call this Bob Culture. So today, I'm really, really excited to have the icon from the local music scene over, Mr. Jeff Crespi from Jeff Crespi Rocks. I'm sure a lot of you know who he is already if you play in a local band. He's always at your shows, taking pictures. He's done so much for our band, Vection. He's taken so many pictures for us. He's been featured in a ton of magazines. And just a really, really nice guy. One of the realest, most nicest people in the music scene that I think any of us in the band have worked with and had the pleasure of meeting. So I'm very excited about that. Couple quick shout-outs. Just want to thank everyone who's helped me with the podcast in the first three episodes. My wife, Kate. Of course, Jeff Crespi with the photo. Joe Novolo, Bill Bodkin for doing the interviews. And everyone I've been reaching out to has been really excited and enthusiastic about it. I've gotten some real quick responses. So everyone's interested in talking to this drummer from some local band. So I really do appreciate that. Without getting too far into it, just really excited to share this interview with you. So here he is, the one and only Mr. Jeff Crespi. Here we go. All right, we're here with the local legend himself. You've seen him at every rock show in the area. You've seen his photos on popbreak.com, Ant Magazine, Speaking to My Good Eye, and the Aquarian Weekly. His pictures have been on several album covers and sleeves. He's a multiple-time Asbury Park Music Award winner, a family man, and one of the nicest people you'll ever meet, the one and only Jeff Crespi. Jeff, thanks for being on the podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
It's awesome. I'm glad you're here. You know, I always see you at shows. We met you at Jenkinson's, I remember.
Yep.
And it was cool because you had heard of us and you approached us. And that was really cool. And we're like, this guy is a cool guy and he's a nice guy. And he's one of the, like, the realest people in the music scene. So it was good to meet you that way.
Well, that Jenkinson's, you know, whole thing was kind of the start. Was kind of the exposure for me to a lot of the local bands.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was kind of the whole break contest for Bamboozle at the time. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time that I was really going to be involved with the local scene on that level, because that was through Maria from the Rat Radio Station.
Yes.
At that time as Jersey Rock. So, you know, those bands, you guys included, were like sometimes those, that was the first time I was actually seeing those bands.
Cool. Yeah. And it was awesome. You know, just to get to talk to you a little bit, and we see you all over the place. We're playing a big show. Oh, I wonder if Jeff's going to be here. We run into you. You got the cool shirts. Now we're like, oh, Jeff's got cool shirts. And, like, we always run into you. And we're always talking to you in passing. So I was just like, it'll be cool to sit down and talk with Jeff. Man, I want to pick his brain and kind of see, you know, your origin story and how you got to where you are right now. So I appreciate it, man. So real quick, the obvious question, how did you start out with photography? Did you take classes in school? Was it a hobby? How did that happen?
If I actually knew what I was doing, I'd be dangerous.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, photography for me just became an art form. It just became something that I found a passion for out of being a talented artist as a kid. Just like a musician, you know, everything's just an art form of something. And so, you know, pretty much it wasn't even anything that was planned. It was nothing that I sat down and ever set out to be. It was nothing that I said to myself, it would be really cool to do that one day. It was just something that developed out of taking my son to shows as a fan, looking for a father-son bonding activity.
Nice.
And being involved in the local scene as a fan just kind of led to something more. Everything just kind of evolved out of that. It was nothing more or less. It was nothing planned. And I remember just, you know, taking my son to his very first concert. I was more scared than him. At that point, I was at a live show in over 25 years.
Really?
So I'm not a concert goer back in my day.
I can't even imagine.
I was a big music fan, but I never went to live shows. I was a club boy. I would hang out in dance clubs, and I would go to rock clubs. Uh-huh. But I was not a concert goer. I was not, let's go see so-and-so at, you know, this arena. Or, as a matter of fact, I was only at Madison Square Garden once my entire life.
No kidding.
Up until, you know, recently.
I wouldn't have guessed that. That's so crazy.
It was all new to me.
That's see, these are good questions. Yeah. I got to find out, like, more about you. Yeah. So that's good, man. All right, so kind of along the same line here, when did you start going to lots of shows? I think you mentioned your son going to shows with him as a bonding experience, which is really
cool.
It's
all started about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
My son was about 8-9 years old when he started to find my Kiss CDs in the
house.
Specifically the Psycho Circus CD.
Okay.
Now, for whatever reason, he just started playing it and loved the music. He had no idea about the makeup. He
really?
Had no idea about what Kiss was.
Which makes it even better.
He just loved the music. So he was this little kid in the backseat of the car with the big headphones on, singing out loud to Kiss.
And how old?
He was, at that time, he was about 7 or 8.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
8 years old, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that summer, Kiss just happened to be playing PNC Bank Arts Center.
Sure.
I've never seen Kiss before. Live.
Oh, wow. Okay.
One of my favorite bands, but I've never saw them back in the day.
All right.
I said to my wife, maybe I should take him to a concert. Maybe this could be something we do together. I was so nervous, like, because I didn't know. I'm also, just so you know, and I'm very upfront with this. I'm a recovering alcoholic and addict with over 26 years of being clean and sober.
Right. Good
so point. Going to a concert for me was a big deal.
I understand. Yep.
Okay. Because it wasn't part of my life at that time. So we went, I bought 2 lawn tickets. I said, let's just go, we'll see how it is. And we had a good time. He was very impressed. You had all the explosions, the fire,
the stage
performance. It was a great first concert. And we had a good time. So I said, maybe this could be something we could do on a every once in a while basis. And that's what we did. His second show was Motley Crue.
Oh, wow. Those are pretty good second shows.
You know, and again, he was 8-9 years old, and mm-hmm. here he is at a Motley Crue show, and, you know, Tommy Lee comes out with the titty cam.
Yeah.
You know? So it was really cool. It was a kind of fun experience. And then, at the time, my wife was working for a very, very large music company.
No kidding.
She's not a music person, but she was just working in the office of this company.
Sure.
And she comes home, and she says, you know, I think I could get you on some guest list at this place in Sayreville. Never heard of it. I didn't go to shows. She says, it's called Starland Ballroom.
No kidding.
Okay. I go check it out with a friend of mine. It seems like a pretty cool place. Me and my friend are just, you know, we're both from, you know, we're both recovering alcoholics and addicts. So we're standing in the back with Diet Cokes. Right. We're just watching.
Hey.
We're just watching this whole thing. And I'm like, this is a cool place. So I started to bring my son there. And very shortly, we became, like, very well known as fans. Because he was a kid. Everybody likes to talk to a kid. And we started to come to shows on a regular basis. You know, it wasn't even every week at that time. It was maybe every couple of weeks. Every couple of weeks led to every week.
That's awesome.
Every week led to every night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just kept going. And we just felt like it was our duty. To, like, be there.
So you would see, like, pretty much any bands?
Any band. It didn't matter. We didn't even want to know who they were.
That's fun.
Half these bands I never heard of in my life. And we would just go for the experience. I wanted to see what they were like, what genre, what style, what the crowd was like. The first time I ever saw crowd surfing, it blew my mind. I never even knew that existed.
Yeah.
You know, so that was the whole point at the beginning, was just the experience, father-son bonding through music.
That's so cool. It's kind of like it was meant to be. You know, you said your wife worked in the business, and, you know, I can kind of see how everything came together. That's really cool. All right, so obviously you're starting to see all these bands at Starland, which is a great venue. So what made you decide to get involved with the local scene? Because, I mean, you're so involved with all these bands. Everyone knows you and is very grateful for everything you do. How did that happen?
Well, because I had my son, a lot of the music, you know, was kind of being brought to me through him. So at his age, you know, again, now he's like 11, 12, middle school age. And now he started meeting friends at school that were in bands or practicing or playing instruments. So he would come home and tell me about these bands that played in, like, local VFWs and stuff like that, or basements, people's houses, you know, because they couldn't really go anywhere else. So one day he comes home and he says, you know, my friend's band is playing in Freehold. I'm like, Ian, there's no venues in Freehold. How could that be possible? Yeah. He goes, no, I'm telling you, they told me this Friday night, whatever it was, give me $20. The tickets are $10. I'll come home with the two tickets and we'll go.
Okay.
I says, okay, you go into school. Here's the $20 and we'll figure it out. And sure enough, he comes home with these two tickets and it says the Freehold VFW. Freehold VFW. So I go online, you know, as a parent would. There's nothing listed. So, but we said, okay, we'll show up and let's see what it is.
Right.
So we show up and I'm like, I swear to God, I walked into this room and I was like mesmerized. I was like, this is so cool. I said, everything was being done by these kids from the start to finish, to the setup, to the event flyer, to the door, to the sound, to the stage. And I took such notice in all of that. It wasn't just the music. I was so amazed by these kids at that age that were doing all of this. It really made me think about, you know, like kind of when I was that age, how motivated I was or how productive I was. And that's what I was taking out of that. So as a parent, I got to be honest, my son was young. I didn't feel comfortable just bringing my son there and leaving.
Sure.
A lot of these kids, unfortunately, that's how it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was a place for them to go. Parents would drop them off and leave. And I didn't feel comfortable doing that. So I kind of hang out and I started to meet everybody and I'm just watching all these bands. And I was like, I remember watching these kids' faces that would show up every Friday night just to see their favorite band. They'd have tears in their eyes. They'd be so happy to singing along these songs. They would go home and they would practice singing the songs. So when that night came, they would be right up front singing with them.
That's awesome.
And I thought that was the coolest thing I ever saw in my life. And that's kind of what happened. So I would take pictures just to document. It was all about documentation. It was all about having those memories saved, not just for them, but for me as well. You know, so that one day I could look back at all of this and say, wow, I remember that band, or I remember that person, or I remember when that happened. That's what it was all about and only about.
That's awesome. I know we've played obviously a few VFW shows and they're cool, you know. You know, we do play a lot of Brighton Bar shows, a lot of shows where it's 21 and up, and it's a, you know, when you get that high school, middle school crowd, you get a different reaction. We played Barnegat Middle School a couple times, and it was like an assembly. They got to come out of class, they got to come watch us play in the gym, and like after the show, we had t-shirts for them and we were like signing autographs and the kids treated us like, you know, like we were rock stars, you know, and it's so cool, you know.
Well, it was the same with me, you know, they looked at me as the show dad and I, you know, all I did was want to be helpful. All I did was try to how can I help this scenario?
Mm-hmm.
You know, could I help them carry in their equipment from outside, help them set up the stage if they need. And I was buying merch. I was, you know, buying their CDs and t-shirts to try to support the bands at that time as much as I could. And that's all it was about. It was just about, and that's kind of how the whole thing started with, you know, a website and all that. It was all just to help.
That's crazy. And I think a lot of people on the scene look at you. Maybe I'll use the term show dad, but like, you know, you're a good part of the local community. I think everyone looks at you that way. Everyone knows you and thinks you're such a good guy and you're so helpful. And that's kind of cool that it started that way at the VFWs and all those shows. All right. Let's ask, I'm actually really curious about this. I'm wondering if Kiss is in here, but your favorite, like big national acts, like big bands.
Bands that I love or bands I've shot?
That you love, your favorite, okay.
Well, Kiss is definitely one of my all-time favorite bands overall, just from when I was growing up. It was a big thing with Kiss. But music to me when I was younger was very, very diverse. I was always a person that liked things that are different.
Cool.
I was always a person that liked things that weren't kind of traditional.
Sure.
Just my personality is just, I just like to see realism. I don't like to see anything that is, everybody just follows along. So musically at that time, it was basically, you know, you didn't have social media, you didn't have the internet.
True.
So the only music you heard was what was being played in the house by either your parents or a sibling,
mm-hmm.
all right, or what your friends were listening to or found out about. So it was very traditional at that time. Freestyle dance was what I was into. And then it became new wave in the 80s. Uh-huh. So I missed the whole classic rock phase.
Really?
Not part of the whole, I could pick out songs here or there or bands here and there, like The Who, The Stones, very basic stuff. But it was never anything that I was looking to go and see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on a mainstream scale, you know, I could name, you know, you got your Kiss, you got Linkin Park. You got, nice. You know, that style is what I really love.
Yeah. Have you seen Linkin Park?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I've seen them once. They're really good.
Yeah, I've seen them a few times and have and been able to take pictures of them twice so far.
I bet we've been at a lot of the same places.
Yeah, so, you know, I like everything per se from one perspective or another, you know, but I never knew about a lot of the styles and genres back then that I do now. The exposure that I had from Starland and from my son led me to learn about all types of music, like hardcore, pop punk, you know, indie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was not, you know, it was either disco or it was rock.
Uh-huh.
You know, there was nothing else that I knew of. You know, so there's so many more subgenres now that are just, to me, just blew my mind as I was going through this process.
You seem pretty open-minded. Like, I we're always seeing your photos online. And you can check them out at jeffcrespyrocks.com. But there'll be a lot of shameless plugs. We're really good at that. But you, I don't think, like, you have, like, one style that you're like, oh, I can't stand that. You know, you seem to like all different kinds of music. You know, I've seen pictures of you at some, you know, crazy events, you know, and you're into all different stuff. It's really, really cool.
So it's funny. So how many shows I've done so far, I couldn't even tell you. I do have them written down. I actually, I still keep a spreadsheet of every show I go to.
That's great.
I don't date them, but I have a list.
Mm-hmm.
So how many? It's probably somewhere now about 1,100 or 1,200. Somewhere in that range.
Wow.
You know, and that's over the 10-year period. But at the beginning, it was sporadic. The last few years, I've been covering over 350 shows a year.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
350. So, if you do the math, there's 365 days in a year.
As of now, there's only one night a week that I really don't do a show. And that's only because I work that night.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's what it's become.
And I'm just going to put this out here. Jeff, he goes from Asbury to Freehold to who knows where in the same night. I don't know how he does it. I always say he's got superpowers and he's hiding them. He's like the Flash. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. He pops in. He's there for our set. He's gone. He's at some other show a couple towns over. I don't know how he does it. He makes everything, but that's dedication.
Well, I wanted it to be about that. I wanted it to be about the support. I didn't want it to be about just me going to a show. I wanted it to be about how much, you know, what coverage I could give people on a larger scale. So if I could run in and shoot one or two sets, run to another place, cover one or two sets, and do that, you know, often, you know, all those styles and genres are being covered. And to answer what you just mentioned, every night when I come home, the first thing my wife says is, how was the show?
Right.
And I am telling you, 10 years. I have never once ever told her that it was a bad show.
Yeah, I believe that, yeah.
There is always something that I could take out of that show. I might not like the music at a show, but to me it's not about the music. Mm-hmm. It's about everything else. It's about the atmosphere. It's about the people. I look at you as a person first before I see you as a musician.
Okay.
That's what I look for. I look for the human element.
That's
what
good.
You do as a human being is one thing, but who you are as a human being means more to me first.
See, that's good. That's a good way to look at things. I feel like a lot of people in bands are competitive, or they'll look at someone based on their talent level or their stage presence, you know, how their songs sound, their songwriting styles. And that's, like, I like that. It's a very positive way to look at it.
When I'm watching a band, I am staring at their faces. I like to watch how they communicate on stage. I like to watch what they do before their set. I like to see how each band member has their prep for a show or what they do after a show. Some people are, you know, behind the scenes relaxing. Mm-hmm. Some band members are out in the crowd enjoying the other bands. That's what I always took notice of.
Yeah.
I love to see the human interaction.
Speaking of people's faces, this is how good Jeff is at taking photos. Because you know, Kate, she looks great on the camera. She's all about the camera. Let's face it, Kate knows how to work the camera. She's she's probably all up in your lens, you know. Max, too, you know, he's got the swagger. Me, I kind of make a lot of faces. And Jeff gets the pictures where I don't make lots of faces, and he makes me look good. And that's how good Jeff is.
Drummers are the best to shoot.
Oh, yeah.
Because half, most of the pictures come out, it looks like they just got hit by Tyson.
Yep.
You know?
Yep, that's it. That's the perfect... That's the perfect exception. All right, so speaking about local acts, besides Vection, of course, who are your favorite local bands over time, and who do you think's up and coming? Who's on to bigger things? You know, what are your favorites right now?
Okay, well, I mean, obviously, there's so many bands out there. And the beauty of what I do is, you know, back in the day, I'd be following this young band that I've got to see progress over the years and play the bigger stages. But on the other side, there's so many bands that I've watched break up, form sure. other bands, mix and match. And so you kind of see both sides of that over the time.
Yeah.
But one of the bands that I really loved years ago and up until recently, which they kind of are no longer, is a band called In Our Glory.
Okay.
They're a band I used to love to go watch to see. But right now, you know, there's so many good bands out there. And, you know, Asbury Park brings so much of that. You know, bands like Dio Casino,
sure.
The Battery Electric,
yep.
The Cold Seas, you know, Dolly's, mm-hmm. you know, there's so many. And every time I go to see these shows, I'm just amazed by how much talent is out there. But you never know. You never know where a band is going to end up. You
yeah.
know, I've seen so many bands get to a roadblock and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've seen so many bands just kind of move up that ladder and try to go somewhere further. And I think, you know, a band to me doesn't necessarily have to be good, but there has to be some kind of passion there and motivation.
I like that.
Some bands are very content just being local, and that's cool because in this area you could play every night somewhere. But if you really want to get to that next level, there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more within you than just the music.
You Absolutely.
Know? So I look for that. That's what I look for in the bands. I look to see which of the bands that are really, really doing what they think they need to do to get to that next level.
Wow.
And the cool thing for me is I could sit there in the local bars or clubs, whether it be you or anybody else. But when they play those bigger stages like Starland, like where maybe PNC Bank Arts Center, maybe the Wellmont Theater, whatever, I'm there.
Yeah.
See, for me, it's about kind of supporting that band through that next level, not just up until that next level. You know, I could do the whole local scene, but I love to see when those bands are playing the bigger stages, I want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be part of that process too.
That's really cool, man. That's awesome. And I'm sure everyone appreciates that. That's awesome. So Jeff's not just taking pictures here. He's really checking things out for what they are. All right. Let's see here. This is a question I wanted to ask you. What is the state of the local music scene right now? And who's helping that right now? Besides you, because you really are. Seriously, you really are. Who should bands reach out to? And what is the state of the local music scene?
Okay. So I have my opinions.
Yeah, we all do. Yes, we all do.
And I try to keep my opinions kind of to a small circle.
I understand.
And the reason is because of what I do, I don't like to use social media to get into those opinionated arguments.
Yes.
So I try to stay as respectful as I could.
I completely
with
understand.
Everybody that does what they do.
Right.
And I support everybody that does what they do as well. But I think that in a social media world, everybody and their mother today thinks they're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks they can run their own business.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody was cut out to do that. You know, some of us need to just sit back and say, that's not for me.
Uh-huh.
And because I think what's going to happen is somebody creates a Facebook page, which is free.
Yes.
Joe Blow Promotion Company,
yeah.
And they right away think they have a business.
Correct.
And they start putting that out there as a business. But yet you'll go to the about page and there's nothing listed.
Right, yeah.
No phone number, no address, no nothing. It's just Joe Blow in a basement.
Yeah,
you
exactly,
know?
Yeah.
So I don't think, although I think that every now and then that could work, overall I don't think it works.
Sure.
So that scares me, that's the trend. The other thing is what I do from in the music scene, I deal with a lot of PR companies, a lot of band management companies, band directly, you know, venues. It seems to be getting younger and younger. So a lot of the people that I'm dealing with, that I could be communicating with via email to get press done, could be an 18, 19-year-old kid that doesn't know what they're doing.
I understand. Yep.
You know, and that's been happening a lot more.
I got it.
And although there are some good ones out there, everybody seems to want to be their own boss today.
Yeah.
Because social media allows you to create anything and pretend to be anything.
That's a good point.
And that's what scares me. Because being an older guy, I live the other life. And I see where this can head. And I'm very afraid for not just music, but for society in general because of that.
That's a good point.
And I watch all these younger people just trying to build something, but they're missing out on what they could be having by just getting a job, doing something just to kind of get to that point.
Right.
So I don't know. It's hard, like, you know, because then the other side is like, who knows? Mm-hmm. Who am I? Who am I to figure out what people are going to achieve or not.
I understand what you're saying.
You know?
You got drummers doing podcasts. Like, so, this doesn't make
right,
sense.
Right, no, then that's my point.
Yeah, no, but
that's exactly my point.
Yes.
Like, it might become something,
but
everybody is trying to do something
right.
like that.
Yeah.
You know, so everybody's creating a website. Everybody's creating. And the other thing is, like, you know, I provide a service for bands.
Yes.
You know, I'm giving back. I'm putting in
Absolutely.
My time and my
Absolutely.
Effort. And I will be the first one to say that I am giving back 10 times more than I'm getting.
Yes. Oh,
okay.
Easily.
So, and I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. It's just the reality.
It is.
So
absolutely.
When I see a lot of people that are out there just, you know, okay, I'm Joe Blow Promotion. So, you know, you should let me into a show for free. You know, again, it's not my business, but I think that doesn't help the scene either.
Sure.
So when you got bands that are trying to pull people into a venue, and out of 50 people, only 25 of them are paid customers, how much is that helping the band or the venue?
Good point.
You know, so there's a lot of that going on as well.
That's
you know,
good point.
I can't speak for anybody else, but, you know, if I ask somebody that, you know, hey, I'm going to be at your show, no problem, Jeff, we'll put you on the list. I feel good about myself because I'm providing you with a service. So, you know, I have no problem there, but I watch everything else too.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, well, you've definitely earned where you are and have definitely made a name for yourself. And
you know, as a fan of music, it's the greatest thing in the world
yeah.
out here.
That's
but
awesome.
From a business standpoint, everybody's
yeah.
suffering.
Hey, you know what? We're musicians. We know that pretty much
yeah.
better than anyone. But and we do. And thank you for all you do and all the pictures and of every show. So this kind of goes right into my next question here. So you take a lot of photos for everybody. I mean, you know, I'm on Facebook. Oh, Jeff has been to these three places tonight. What do you have to say about people using your photos or sharing your photos? What's the right way to do it? Because we've dealt with so many photographers. I don't think we have to sit here and say that you're our favorite, but you're our favorite. But it's on the record. And we appreciate all the photos you take for us. And I know also hire Jeff Crespi if you're trying to do a photo shoot for your band. You're working with the Iron Bridge Band. You did some photos for them. And they're friends of mine. And they're also a great band. Like I said, a lot of shameless plugs. But using your photos or sharing your photos, how should a band do that? They see their photo, you take it. Should they give you credit? Should they talk to you first? What do you have to say about
that? Good point. So I understand. When I first started doing this, it was very important for me to see where I fit in all this. So I reached out to some photographers that were doing this for a long time because I wanted to get input. I really wanted to see what their opinions were of this scenario that I was getting myself involved in. Because again, even in anything I've ever done in my life, I've always been the good guy. I've always been the respectful guy. And sometimes it has worked against me.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, we
don't. Nice guys finish
the game. Right. So, you know.
I know that story.
But I'm that type of person that has to be able to put my head on the pillow at night and feel good about myself.
Right.
So I've always lived that life of caring about that person next to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a lot of input, but I also got a lot of opinionated, egotistical arrogance.
What in the music scene?
So,
what are you talking?
So when it was all said and done, I said to myself, okay, here's the answer. The answer is it's up to me. The answer is it's up to me to decide what I want to do with all this and how I want to handle it. Okay. So from a picture standpoint, I do put up all my pictures for the reason of letting the bands use them to support them. From a social media standpoint, I mean, there's obviously basic moral scenarios of, listen, don't remove my watermark. And if you do, tag me. Those are two very basic, simple things to follow.
Photo courtesy of Jeff Crespi.
What I have noticed over the years, if a band uses a picture of mine and doesn't credit me or crops out my watermark, it might have been by mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I go after that person in a negative way?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I usually do? I like the photo.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I like the photo, that person in their head says, oh, damn, I forgot to tag them.
Yeah.
And they do.
Good, as they should.
And I didn't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to yell at them. I didn't have to contact them. I didn't have to email them. I didn't have to send them an invoice. I didn't have to, you know, go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's no need for that.
Right.
Now, have people done things with my photos that I'm not happy with? Yes.
I'm sure.
But at the end of the day, other than a simple message, please don't do that,
mm-hmm.
I'm not that guy. In all the years I'm doing this, I think I've only kind of had a Facebook argument with one or two people.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's considering the number of pictures.
And usually it's only because at this stage of the game, it should be already known of how to handle things like that from an artist standpoint. You know, if it's somebody, a new band or young band, they might not even know. I've had people tell me, Jeff, I didn't even know what I was doing when I put it
up.
And so you have to understand that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is I learned, if I don't want people doing things with my photos, then I shouldn't put them up.
Right, okay.
So mm-hmm. I have to understand that part too. You know, if I'm putting up all these pictures, it's bound to happen. The only thing I really are concerned with, if an artist is going to send a picture of mine to a so-called publication, you should have the courtesy to let
me know.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Ask my permission mm-hmm. and let me know where it's going.
And that also goes on your resume.
And that's exactly the uh-huh. reason. So I could use it for my portfolio as well.
Yes.
You know, and I do keep that. I have like a little press folder, you know. So I it's important for me to know where my pictures are.
Yeah.
So that's the only time I really get upset if somebody does that without me knowing. If I open up a magazine and I see a picture of mine without my name in it, that's not a nice thing to see. You know, so that's, other than that, social media, I'm like, no, use them, you know.
And I'm sure all the bands appreciate that. And, you know, people are at shows taking cell phone photos and stuff like that. And there's all these filters and stuff. You can kind of make them look good. But, you know, you don't just have these photos. There's photographers there like Jeff. So you can have these photos to share, like, oh, we played this show last night. Here's a bunch of great pictures, you know. And
yeah, well, I like to think that, you know, even me as a photographer has progressed over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And I love when people tell me that. I love when people tell me, hey, they remember, you know, whatever it was, 5, 6, 7 years ago, and they tell me how they've seen the style and the progression of what I do increase. And that's an awesome thing.
Definitely. You know, I've noticed that as well. Like, you obviously do some editing now here and there. I've seen some really cool looking things. Yeah. Like, you know, like for a certain show, you'll have it one way, and then a certain show, you'll have it another way. I'm like, wow, this is like really, really
cool.
Well,
I'm an artist. So I want my pictures to be artistic, mm-hmm. and I want them to be fun and entertaining. I'm not a traditional photographer. I don't want them all to look dull and boring. I'm at a live show with bright lights, stage performance. Why do I want to come home and see a picture from there in black and white?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, I get it from a style mm-hmm. of somebody, But I want to be able to look at those pictures and say, that looked fun. You know, I want to see the bright lights. I want to see what that venue has to offer.
Absolutely. So here, just random question I wanted to ask you. Do you play music or do you sing?
So, as a kid, I was musically inclined. There's no doubt in my mind that if I pursued it, I'd be playing an instrument today.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind.
Uh-huh.
But as a kid, I did a lot of things. Unfortunately, and this is no knock on my parents or anybody, but I wasn't the most disciplined child.
Oh,
so
okay.
There wasn't a lot of structure. There wasn't a lot of organization in my life.
I find that hard to believe.
So
okay.
So everything that I did was just spur of the moment, and it never really went anywhere. My artwork, everything I did, I was an exceptional athlete as a kid.
Oh, yeah?
But everything that I did, those God-given talents, never evolved to anything on a bigger scale because I just didn't have anybody pushing me in that direction. Okay? I do all of it as an adult. I've played ball all my life, but it was all nothing organized. It was all street ball.
Mm-hmm.
It was all, you know, artistry on my own, freelance. So that was the difference for me. So could I have been a musician today? Probably. Could I have been an athlete today? Probably. You know, could I have been an artist? Yeah. All of those things could have been different, you know, but I love the fact that I'm able to do all of it today in my way.
Yeah.
So my style, and it's funny because my son's kind of exactly the same.
Okay.
Very artistic, but it has to be his way.
Sure.
Back in that day, I didn't like anybody teaching me. I had a very hard time with authority figures.
Okay.
So everything I did was just for the moment, my way, and that's just the way it had to be. You know, so I was in orchestra as a kid. I played the viola.
What? See, I wouldn't have guessed that. Really?
Yeah. So,
wow.
You know, I was in the public school orchestras. You know, took guitar lessons.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I took guitar lessons from a guy that's very kind of big in the... He plays a stick man.
Mm-hmm.
It was a neighbor of mine that gave me guitar lessons when I was a kid. But again, I never really pursued it.
Yeah, I got you.
Know, so.
If you ever want to play the drums, I will give you a couple free drum lessons. No charge, man. If you just want to sit down, hit the skin.
I tried learning guitar a few years ago, and it was just so odd to me.
Yeah, I got you.
At this stage in the game, the dexterity and the
the
flexibility, it just wasn't there.
Right, like the kids, like, absorb
it. I would really need so much time to sit down and practice, and unfortunately, I just don't have that time.
I understand, man. All right. I wouldn't have been surprised if you said, oh, I play like electric guitar.
There's a lot of days where I wake up and say, today's going to be the day I'm going to learn how to play the keyboard or learn how to, and I have everything in the house.
Yeah, I got you.
Everything there, drum sets, keyboards, guitars.
Nice.
Yeah.
You ever try singing? Yeah,
would Mrs. No, singing was never my thing.
Mrs. Crespi wouldn't say Jeff has a good singing now.
No.
Yeah.
That
me
would
neither,
never go
man.
Over well.
That's why I stick to the drums, you know. You got your thing, I got my thing. Yeah. Another question I want to ask you, other hobbies. I guess you said you had some sports in there.
Yeah.
Anything else besides photography and going to shows?
Yeah. So again, being an artist, so as a kid, anything, I love building things.
No way.
Anything that involves my hands, I love.
No way.
So as a kid, there wasn't a day that went by that I wasn't building a model,
really?
Doing a puzzle. I've done string arts. I've done hook rugs. Anything that came in a kit, I did.
Really?
That's what I lived for.
I never would have guessed that.
And I still do that today.
Really?
Unfortunately, the photography has consumed my life.
I can imagine,
so my projects are on hold, but they're there. I literally have, it's 3/4 of the way done. It was the last project I was working on before the photography snowballed. It's a paper project of the Titanic.
No way.
And it's sitting on my kitchen table. Almost done.
Really?
Just waiting for me to have a little time to finish it.
Yeah.
I have tons of projects waiting. In my bedroom, I have stock of models, paper projects, just waiting to be done.
That's cool.
My whole house is decorated with my stuff.
Yeah. I used to do models and stuff with my dad. That's
really
fun.
All I did as a kid.
That's awesome, man. See, I never would have guessed that. So yeah, I'm looking at some of your pictures as always. Like a couple weeks ago or like a week ago, I saw you with Molly Ringwald. Saw a picture with you and Ace Frehley. So obviously you met some cool people. So I had to ask, man, any cool stories or any cool stories about anyone you met or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, most of the cool stuff happened in the early days. See, in the early days, I was just a fan. So sure. It was kind of, I was doing a lot of hanging out with these bands with my son.
No way.
You know, bands like Type O Negative and Biohazard and 40 Below Summer and a lot of bands that I didn't even know at that time who they were.
Right.
And yeah, have the pictures to prove it. Mm-hmm. But back in that day, it was very different because it was about meeting the bands. It was about hanging out with them. It was about, and I'm talking about local bands too, that I didn't even know who they were that would come through Starland as opening bands. And then, you know, we would go chill with them in the merch area. And, you know, I have pictures of my son in the merch booth.
Yeah.
Like helping bands sell merch.
That's so cool.
You know, my son at that time would have, you know, blue mohawks and yellow hair and, you know, he'd have all these crazy clothing and paintings and whatever. It was just that kind of scene for us.
Sure.
And that was the cool part, you know, just kind of meeting all these people like Mindless Self Indulgent.
Wow.
Was one of my favorite bands then.
Sure.
A band called Kill Hannah was an awesome band back then. So me being with those people was more impressive. You know, yeah, I have pictures of my son in the VIP lounge upstairs at Starland Ballroom with Type O Negative.
Nice.
I became good friends with Biohazard. Yeah, it was just a cool thing for us. It was just, let's just go watch the show and hang out with them.
That's so
you
cool.
know, and then the local shows, you know, the VFWs, and then, you know, I found out about hardcore music, and I'd be at the Brick Moose Lodge with bands like Knuckle Up and Reign Supreme, and then, you know, you'd go in this little room, and you didn't know if you were coming out alive.
Yeah.
You know, you had no idea.
Yeah.
Because you didn't know who these people were. You knew some of them, but they would come from all different neighborhoods. You didn't know who these people were. They could have just, you know, killed you.
Yeah.
You know, I've got popped in the face a few times. I got a backhand.
By artists?
By just somebody running around the crowd like a lunatic.
Gotcha, okay.
You know, I took a backhand to my eye. I had blood coming out of my face.
Oh, man.
You know, and I'm like, I got my camera. And I'm like, no, I'm staying. I need pictures.
That's rock and roll,
and my
Jeff.
Friend would be, no, go home.
That's rock and roll. You know? I still got to just hold his ground, though. You can't stop. I like that. One, I wanted to ask you, a dream opportunity, like, I guess to shoot, you know, you have any, like, maybe Kiss, I don't know.
So, you just nailed it. So, you know, Kiss started the whole thing.
Yeah.
They're the one band I've never shot.
It has to happen.
So, the problem is that, you know, in order to shoot Kiss, you gotta, you know, be from a publication.
Sure.
And most of the publications I provide coverage for, I was never like the main guy.
I understand.
So when it came to a band like Kiss, somebody else always got first dibs.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're not really around much. So it's the last few times they were at PNC, you know, the first two times I saw them, I wasn't shooting professionally. I was just there as a fan. But once I was shooting professionally, they've only been around once or twice.
Sure.
And I haven't been able to do that because somebody else always got the gig.
I gotcha. I think it's going to happen.
But I've done, you know, pretty much everybody else from, you know, Linkin Park to Slayer to Incubus to Deftones.
You shot Linkin Park?
Oh, yeah.
At a PNC?
Oh, yeah. Twice.
No way. Twice. Yeah. I must have been at one of those shows, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Oh, yeah.
I got to go look
through
your website,
man. Yeah, one of my
favorites.
One of the best stage performances ever.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We Kate and I both like Linkin Park. Mike Shinoda, oh, man. That's awesome. See, oh, man. Good for you, man. What are you listening to right now? It doesn't have to be local, but what music are you listening to right now?
So here's the funny thing. I don't listen to any music in the house.
I'm shocked.
I can't because the live performances ruined it for me.
Okay.
So back in the day, I told you I really wasn't a concert guy. All I did was listen to music everywhere, every second of the day, whether it be in the car, the house, my headphones, it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Music had to be played. And I'm going to tell you a funny story, which is going to show my age. So when I was a teenager, my friends and I used to ride our bikes around the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And on my bike rack, I had a portable 8-track player. Okay? And I used to listen to 8-tracks while we just rode around the neighborhoods. I would listen to the soundtrack of Saturday Night Fever.
Nice.
I would listen to the Rolling Stones. I would listen to a band called Exile that I loved. It was that kind of stuff. New Wave is always going to be my music of choice. 80s New Wave music. Depeche Mode, The Cure, Echo and the Bunnymen, Psychedelic Furs, Howard Jones, Thompson Twins. That's always going to be my main source of music. That's the music I will listen to in the house when I'm vegging and nobody else is around and I just want to lay still for an hour.
Right.
Unfortunately, that doesn't happen too much anymore. So most of the music I listen to is in the car, to and from shows. I listen to a lot of the local music in the car because they all give me their CDs.
Right.
So I take the opportunity to listen to all that stuff while I'm driving around to the venues. But in the houses, really, I don't listen to anything.
No kidding.
Yeah, I just don't have the time and I don't have the patience.
I got it. You said you like the live, just this is kind of a random question. You said you like the live music. Do you ever listen to like live albums like Linkin Park has Live in Texas? I'll let you borrow it if you don't have it. It's awesome, especially if you love Linkin Park. It's an awesome album. Like Kate's like not so big into the live album. She likes, you know, because she's an audio engineer, so she's you know, she's all about the recording. But I like the live stuff. You know, you kind of get. I feel like you would appreciate.
I do, and again, it's very different now than it was then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back then I would say, why are you going to a concert? What a waste of money. Buy the CD. You know, or, you know, that's how I was.
I can't imagine
but
that.
Once I started taking my son, for whatever reason, it became very different.
Mm-hmm.
The live shows for me now is the only way that I can enjoy music.
Yeah.
I'll put on some vinyl in the house just to kind of piss off my kids. You know, I'll put on like some stuff that they'll, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And it was funny because when my kids were little, all I was playing in the house was 80s New Wave. You know, my daughter at 6 years old was singing, you know, Sunglasses at Night by Corey Hart.
That's awesome.
You know, and Journey and, you know, all that
stuff. That's even better.
You know, that's what they were first exposed to. So it's like, you know, in the house, like my kids will kind of put on more music than I do. They'll like, oh, come on, you want to hear something cool? And they'll go on YouTube and they'll let me listen to something that they kind of discovered.
That's cool. They share it with you, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
and that's kind of how it was when we first started going to Starland. It was some shows we were there for me and some shows we were there for him, you know, for my son. It depended on whatever it was.
And that's how you find new music, though.
Yeah.
That's great. I feel like a lot of kids nowadays wouldn't really be listening to music with their parents, you know? So
that's
really
cool. Well, like I said, social media changed everything.
True.
Kids now are being exposed to stuff they would have never, ever heard back in the day because they could only hear what they were hearing in the house. So unless a parent showed them something, they didn't know about it.
All right. How can people contact you? They say, hey, we want to do a photo shoot with Jeff Crespi or we want him to come to our show. How should people contact you?
Well, pretty much everything across the board is Jeff Crespi Rocks. So as long as you know that name, you can find me anywhere on any social media platform. You know, I have my .com site, which is my main site that I update every so often, kind of create links. That's where you could go to, you know, see some of the stuff I've done. You could read about me. You could see what I've done, shows, festivals. It has links to my Flickr page. It has links to my Twitter, to my Facebook. So kind of everything is centralized there. But pretty much Jeff Crespi Rocks across the board.
Cool. JeffCrespi, rocks.com. All right. Next question I really want to get to. But first, real quick, your advice to aspiring photographers, I guess that would be in terms of like band photography.
Okay. So I'm around a lot of photographers.
Yeah, and that's not always a good thing.
I mean, there's two sides to everything. Yeah. So the good thing is it's become something of relevance. Okay. The bad thing is it's so overflooded. You know, so, you know, how do you establish yourself as something different than the rest?
Sure.
Now, I paid my dues, like I said, years ago. You know, I went to every single show and I take pictures of every single band. If it was a 10-12 band battle of the bands, I took pictures of all 12 bands.
No kidding.
Right? And I did that for a couple of reasons. One was respect to the bands. The other one was You never know who somebody was going to become. You also never knew who you were going to see or hear. So if there was a band that I knew, I wouldn't just come at 4 in the afternoon to see that band. The doors opened at 1. I was there at 12:55. I thought that was the right thing to do. So I would take pictures of every single band, whether I knew them or not. And I am telling you that the appreciation was so great and so overwhelming to me because I was the only guy doing that. A lot of photographers only go to shows because their friends are playing.
Very good point.
They're not going to a show that they never heard of. They're not looking up the venues and saying, that looks interesting, that looks interesting. I don't know who they are, but it looks interesting. That's what I would do. And that's what I loved about it. I would just go see anybody and everything. Mm-hmm. And I didn't care what style of music it was. I would look at some of the pictures. I wouldn't listen to the music. I didn't want to know the music because I didn't want the music to deter me. Yeah, I didn't want to go online and say, that's not my style. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be about everything else. So, you know, that's what it was about. It was just going to shows, whether I knew the bands or not, taking pictures. But from a photography standpoint, the one thing I tell everybody is find and develop your own style. It's yours. Do with it what you wish. But be respectful to people that are doing it as well. That's the part of it that I don't like. When there's other photographers that are disrespecting...
Like bumping you around or...
Not even that. It's just... How could I say this? So, social media, mm-hmm. again, in my opinion, can be used for such good, but also such bad.
Yeah.
So, sure. I'm very, very respectful of other photographers. If I see that there's a band that's friends with another photographer, I'm leaving that alone. I'm not going to contact that band and ask them to do a photo shoot because I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. But I can only speak for myself. So the only advice I give people is develop your own style, but be very respectful of the other people doing what you're doing.
Good advice.
Other than that, it's whatever go. You're always going to have people that are wanting to get to the top. And they're going to fight and they're going to step on everybody in the process.
Yeah.
You're always going to have those people in every field mm-hmm. out there. So I see that. I know who those people are. But it's not going to change how I feel. So I do my thing. I built up a reputation. I built up respect. And that's how I like it.
And that's a good point, what you were saying earlier. A lot of photographers, you know, they'll go shoot a particular band. They'll be there for a certain thing. Jeff, you're all over the place, man. You're like you said, you're shooting all 12 bands in the Battle of the Bands. You know, that's how we met you, you know. You came up to us. You had heard of us a little bit, and we got to know you. And then you're like, oh, we're playing this show. Jeff's here. Oh, we're playing this show. Jeff's here. You know, even if you're shooting someone else, you're like, oh, I'll try to stop by and get you guys, you know. But you're taking care of everybody, you know. And... You know, now that I think about it, not a lot of photographers, you know, do that. And so you're really helping everybody out. And we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. And this is one I really want to ask you, kind of from your perspective. You know, we're in bands. We deal with promoters. We deal with other bands, you know. You know, there's a lot of ego, a lot of competition involved. You know, you're on the outside kind of, I shouldn't say you're on the outside, but you're taking pictures and you're so involved in the scene. I wanted to get your perspective. What is your advice to local bands right now? Like, because you definitely are part of the community, like from your, you know, your front row all the time. What's your advice to all the local bands out there, I guess?
Well, I mean, I'm an old school guy, so I believe in hard work. I believe in put your dues in, have a passion for something, and kind of do whatever you need to do to develop that. What I do see is sometimes it's hard because I think you have to develop a value of something. And what I see from a band perspective is, okay, so you'll have some bands that'll kind of go on and play a show. And after they're set, you know, hey, we got some CDs, we got some merch, and, you know, take the CDs. We don't want anything. Now, that could be cool, but you're not showing a value.
Good point.
You're not showing a value for your work. And if you want to give something away for free, that's fine. I do a lot for free.
Yeah.
But I also have the other side of it. I also develop the respect and the value for what I do. And I just learned how to find my niche. You know, so there's a lot of bands out there that do pay me for what I do. And they all know how I work, and I make it very simple for everybody. But at some point, I had to make that decision if I was going to establish a value for what I do or just leave it alone as a hobby. Mm-hmm. That was my choice. So if you want to play music and give everything away for free, that's your business, and that's cool. But if you want to be something more, you're going to have to establish a value. Unfortunately, if you want to make money doing something, it's a business. If you want to do it as a hobby, that's great. But as long as you're all on the same page, you know. So, again, it comes down to self. You know, it comes down to self. It comes down to what's in your heart. I always believe is that, you know, you find a passion for something and you use it to develop who you are as a person. You know, the answer is different for everybody. What success means to somebody could be very different than what it means to the next person. You know, we're all individuals and we all have to act as if. So when you're in a band, the only thing that I could kind of come up with is if you're a four-piece band, all four of you has got to be on the same page.
Yeah.
I just had a nice conversation with the band Dale Casino about that. And I sat in a little room with them at Lake House Recording Studio. And we talked about that. We talked about, like, as individuals, you're all different. But when it comes to what the goal is, they're all on the same page. And they put every ounce of effort they have into making this record that they're in the process of making right now. And they all dedicated their time and effort to it. Right now, none of them really have any spare time. They're dedicating every minute they have to this record because they want it to be something. Now, maybe it will be, maybe it won't. But nobody could take that away from them.
Sure.
Nobody could ever take away the passion and the determination and the time that you spend doing something. So that's the only thing that I put out there is put effort into something. Put that passion behind it. What the goal is up to you. What you want to get out of something is totally an individual preference, you know. And that, you know, nobody can answer that for you. It's only that's something you got to answer for yourself.
And yeah, I think you've definitely done that. You've been very true to yourself. And, you know, look where you are now. That's why you're pulling in all these Asbury Park Music Awards and getting in all these magazines, man. You know, you decided, you know, I'm going to be at all these shows. I'm going to take pictures of this band I never saw before. I'm going to let people share my photos as long as they give me credit. on social media, and you know, and it's working out for you, man. And you are where you are today, man. You're the guy as far as photography. I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, you know, it's fun and it's weird at the same time. And it's kind of just one of these things where, you know, I just followed my passion. And if something came out of it, great. And if something did it would have been okay also. You know, I don't know the answer. I don't know why it happened the way it happened or if it was, you know, meant to be. I don't know what's going to happen 5 years from now. I don't know what I'm going to do with all of this. I really have not thought that way. I have absolutely no clue what I'm going to do with all this when it's all done, you know.
I'm calling it now. There will be a day where Jeff Crespi shoots Kiss at a concert. He will be taking lots of pictures. I feel like it's just going to come full circle, you know. You know, I feel like you got a lot of good karma. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
man?
That would be cool.
All right, cool. So I know you got a role. You're going over to Happy Mondays, right?
Yes.
Dark City Promotions, right? Yep. Over at the Wonder Bar. You there every Monday for the most part?
I try to go every Monday when possible. Once in a blue moon, I have to miss it because of work or something. But
sure.
For the most part, I've been going there almost every Monday for about 2 years.
What a guy. All right, cool. We'll wrap it up here, man. I usually have like a little quote in the description, you know, when I post it. You have so many good quotes. I gotta go back and find a good one. But I've definitely learned some things. I think a lot of the local bands and even photographers and everyone in the scene, it's just kind of nice to get to sit down and talk to you, you know, instead of just passing by on a show. You're a busy man. I understand it, you know? So I know you gotta roll out of here and go shoot all the bands, but I appreciate your time. Anything else you want to plug? Jeff Crespi Rocks or?
No, it's not about that. You know, all, the only thing that I ever want to kind of tell people is just find something to be passionate about and pursue it. You know, again, I wish I did a lot of the things when I was younger, but I just didn't have that guidance. So one of the things I love is when I'm at shows is the communication, is communicating with people. That's what it's about. I go to shows, I want to feel like I'm part of the show. I want to be that person that's enjoying being there, not just taking pictures. I want to be part of it. I want to converse. I want to meet people. I could be at a show and I could talk to somebody for 2 hours, walk out of there and never even know their name. And that's okay because I remember that conversation. You know, so just be passionate about something.
Awesome. All right. We'll end it on that note. Be passionate about something because Jeff Crespi says so. And catch him at your local shows. Talk to this guy. He'll take awesome pictures for you. And we'll catch you next time on the podcast. Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And we will see you around for sure.